Well, conflicts and disagreements are part of life, and marriage is no exception. But is it possible to have a marriage where fights are at a bare minimum? Like, none? Author and clinical psychologist Dr. Ron Welch says yes. His book is called 10 Choices Successful Couples Make, and he's with us this morning. Good morning, Dr. Welch.
Good morning, Todd and Steve. Great to be with you both.
Now, this is a great topic because lovey-dovey stuff only lasts so long, right?
Yeah, you start off in that honeymoon phase where everyone kind of feels they were married and it's the best thing since sliced bread, and, you know, you're the best couple ever. And that's I love working with premarital couples, by the way, because it's just they're so excited about how wonderful the relationship's going to be. The difficulty is sometimes 6 months, 2 years, 5 years later, things don't quite look the same.
Well, say a couple's been married a while and there's been some problems and they just feel like there's no more hope. How do you guide them to start that restoration process?
I try really hard to start with the concept of hope, to help people remember there was a time, it might have been when you stood up before everybody and before God and before your friends and family and said, this is the right person. I've found him or her. But there were times when you knew this was the right match. And the problem is sometimes you make that choice. We have this concept called falling in love. I don't even like the concept. In the book, I talk about thinking it's more like jumping into love. It's a choice that you make. And I think what happens is people sort of feel like that feeling is just going to continue on its own forever and ever. And you have to make that conscious choice every day to say, hey, today I'm going to take a baby step. Instead of yelling at each other, I'm going to try to point out the things you're doing well. Or instead of criticizing, I'm going to try to say, wow, you've done that right 9 out of 10 times. Why am I complaining? Because one time you left the toilet seat up. it doesn't need to be that much of a conflict. And I work with a lot of couples to talk about process matters more than content. I'm much more concerned with how people treat each other than how they resolve the actual concern or argument they're fighting about.
All right, well, let's talk about arguments and fighting, because you say the goal is not to win, but hey, let's just be honest. We all want to win, right?
You know, I think there's two models of marriage out there now. There's a model that says, I'm in this for me, and when you don't meet my needs, I'm out. The other model of marriage is really much more selfless, focusing on the other person, meeting your needs. And I think it'd be real interesting if the couples who are listening would try to think about meeting their partner's needs and trusting their partner to meet their needs. It's kind of hard to fight if your partner's really trying to give you what you want and you're really trying hard to give them what they want.
In your book, do you outline how we can have those healthy fights and conflict in our marriages?
I do. We have 10 solid choices in there that are all about the ways that people could treat each other if they were following true principles of honor and respect and care and concern. I have a whole description of what happens if couples were aware of where they are in the conflict process. And I use the analogy of Niagara Falls. If you've ever been there, big waterfall, lots of water and power.
Yeah.
I use the example to say the closer you get to the falls, the more powerful that water is. And it's hard to get out of that process because now you're saying the things you're going to regret and doing the things you have to apologize for. And you've got the whole forgiveness process to go through. And so I really work hard in some of the chapters to help couples identify and understand how early in the process they have to intervene in order to not go over the falls.
What are some ways that a good conversation can get shut down?
So, tone of voice, for one thing. If you're just automatically being critical, it's amazing how quickly a comment like, you're late, turns into you're a late person. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's this contemptuous statement of, well, you're just lazy. You're not a hard worker. And suddenly something that was just a problem in the relationship or something that maybe could have been made better becomes an unspoken truth. This is who you are. And it's dismissive, it's aggressive, condescending. There's all those kind of words that happen. And unfortunately, the more that tone of voice helps the other person feel one down or less than you, from there on, it becomes competitive and argumentative rather than a cooperative. Two people working together to try and cooperatively work out a problem.
So it's not really what you say, it's how you say it in those terms.
I think so. It's all about the process, because we can have discussions about really hard stuff, but I don't believe you have to fight. I know there's books out there saying, you know, you just got to learn to fight well because everybody has to fight. I'm afraid I'm not certain I believe that. I think that if couples would actually choose to care and love each other in the beginning, I mean, gosh, sometimes people say things to each other that they wouldn't say to a stranger on the street. And I don't know how that became okay in a relationship to make hurtful or critical comments.
His book is called 10 Choices Successful Couples Make. The author is clinical psychologist Dr. Ron Welch. Thanks, Dr. Welch. This has been helpful.
That's outstanding. I hope the book is helpful to everyone who reads it.